Breaking news, The Designery can give you the kitchen of your dreams. I'm Dana Merrill, the owner of The Designery in North Raleigh.
And I am True Merrill. I am the project manager.
The Designery is a lovely kitchen, bath, and closet remodeling company. We do pretty much any of the utility spaces in your house. If you want to store things in your cabinets, if you want to work on things on your countertops, if you want to have a floor that can get wet or muddy, we're the place to help you fix your home up.
We are the Designery North Raleigh, located at 3030 Wake Forest Road in the Holly Park Plaza. We would love to see you, or visit our website at thedesignery.com.
The Earth is changing around us because of us. And though we're trying to change our habits, this is still a world driven by burning fossil fuels. The carbon dioxide that puts into the air, the methane released by natural gas drilling and raising livestock, this stuff gathers in the atmosphere, it captures heat, it warms the planet, and an estimated 90% of this warming is held by the ocean. Welcome to the Daily Download. I'm Travis Fain, and today we're joined by Liz McLaughlin, WRAL's dedicated climate change reporter, and she did a series last week on sea level rise and flooding. Liz, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me, Travis.
Yeah. Liz, a report last month from the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration projects water levels along the East Coast will rise an average of 10 to 12 inches a foot in the next 30 years. That's roughly equal to the total increase in the past 100 years. That seems like it will have dire consequences up and down the North Carolina coast, among other places.
Yes, it may not sound like that much, 10 to 12 inches, but because it's accelerating, like you mentioned, that's the same amount that it's risen over the past 100 years. It's going to exacerbate a lot of problems we're already seeing. Infrastructure, coastal development, and the impact of storms. A weaker storm is going to be cause more damage than that same storm does right now.
Yeah, because there's more, everything is cumulative, right? I mean, Hurricane Ian, that was what, $70 billion worth of damage, mostly down in Florida. But if all of a sudden a lower category hurricane can cause more flooding, boy, that puts you in a hard place very quickly, doesn't it?
It does. And it costs a lot of money. If you look at the economic impact, it's a big deal. We've seen the number of billion-dollar disasters, weather and climate disasters, also accelerate. So the cost of cleaning up after these storms is getting more expensive as well. So it's not just an environmental problem. It's also an economic problem.
Yeah, and that kind of leads me where I want to go here, because I want to talk about a disconcerting phrase, but it's one that's fairly easy in your mind to conjure up exactly what this little euphemistic phrase we've come up with, what it means. So Liz, tell everybody, what is managed retreat and what will it mean on the North Carolina coast?
Well, you just mentioned Hurricane Ian and that $70 billion of insured losses. And managed retreat is something that you might hear come up more and more often from elected leaders, Army Corps of Engineers, you know, planners. It's basically an answer to the question, should we keep rebuilding or should we retreat? So basically relocating people, communities, businesses out of harm's way to higher ground, to less hazardous areas. Because what we've been doing is rebuilding with taxpayer money on the coast in vulnerable communities that are only getting more vulnerable. And, you know, one scientist I spoke to said, these people, the way they're feeling right now after Hurricane Ian, losing all of their possessions or their business, they're going to probably feel it again in their lifetime and their children maybe a few times in their lifetime. Their children, maybe dozens of times in their lifetime. So based on all the projections, this isn't going to get better. And that's one method to avoid it. And we already saw that happen in North Carolina, about 45 miles inland, but a place called Princeville, one of America's first Black town is sort of how they're known. And they've just been inundated with flooding over and over again. And after Hurricane Matthew in 2016, they actually annexed a parcel of land, I think it's 52 acres, something like that, to actually relocate people to higher ground because the floodplain isn't getting smaller. You know, it's only expanding. Even places we saw with Ian that were considered minimal risk are starting to flood. So people who didn't expect it are starting to see dire consequences here, and it's happening further inland. So managed retreat, it's a difficult pill to swallow because it's emotional, right? We're talking about leaving places, communities, and big areas of economic of commerce, right? These coastal communities, but it's getting brought up more and more often, and might just need to be necessary at some point.
Yeah, and I mean, buyouts, you hear a lot about where the federal government or a local government will buy your property, turn it into a park or something because it floods repeatedly. They're tough to sell on people. Like, people don't want that money because they don't want to move it, particularly when a community would just have to end. In some of your reporting, this is from a UNC Wilmington professor, Narcisa Pricope. Forgive me if I'm pronouncing that just a little bit off. But she was talking about how more and more people who have been at minimal risk are increasingly at risk, quote, leaving many residents unprepared and more than 70% uninsured. So that's, I mean, you talk about the economics of this. I mean, that's the economics of your entire life because it's your home.
Absolutely. And Dr. Pricope was so interesting to speak to. She is starting a first of its kind drone observatory. So she uses remote sensing from satellite imagery, from drones, to really expand this mapping. And just last week gave a talk to Senate, you know, senators and representatives from North Carolina, like Tom Tillis was there, really sharing this information and how we can update our assessment of risk. Basically, that 100-year floodplain that a lot of people reference over and over again is frankly outdated, and that these landscapes of risk are constantly evolving, and communities aren't prepared for it, and homeowners aren't prepared for it. Why would you have flood insurance if you're not in a floodplain, right? And so this is information that's really important. And so she's trying to create a partnership between municipalities, between private businesses utilizing their data to process it and have a better multifaceted approach to these complex problems. And you know, that takes some work and some leaning in, but she's really starting to do the work there, and that can at least help start the process. And actually, right after she gave that talk, she got a request from Pender County for that data. So you know, communities are trying to evolve. They're evolving building codes, for instance, to try to make communities more resilient, you know, make the height, you know, of homes higher in these communities. But it's just a little bit behind what the science is saying and what it's doing. I think something like 45%, even in the current floodplain, don't have the structural elevation necessary to mitigate risk.
Yeah, and you think about eastern North Carolina, very flat, crisscrossed with rivers and creeks. New places are flooding. And, you know, once you get away from the coast where, you know, issues are fairly obvious and people have beach houses and stuff, there's a lot of poverty in these areas. I covered Hurricane Floyd back in the late 90s in Greenville. And one of the things we did after that was we took a map of where the floodwaters were, and then a map of, it was either property values or we might have had some average wage data, and we overlapped it, and it was stark how often the lower lying land is people who have less money and are the least able to kind of deal with this on their own. I know you've seen that, some of that in your reporting, but I'm gonna take a break here. When we come back, we're gonna talk a little bit about why there's only some urgency about climate change in the United States, and some things that are changing as people try to adapt here. We'll be right back on the Daily Download.
So when I was looking to transfer, it was a lot of one-on-one, and it didn't feel like I got lost in a huge university because I knew that if I came here, there was going to be someone I could talk to about every aspect of the courses I needed to take. But also too, I loved the smaller classroom sizes, and I liked how interactive and immersive all of the learning was going to be. It wasn't just going to be me sitting in a room with a couple hundred people and a professor who didn't know my name.
To find out more about transferring to William Peace University, visit peace.edu.
Breaking news, The Designery can give you the kitchen of your dreams. I'm Dana Merrill, the owner of The Designery in North Raleigh.
And I am True Merrill. I am the project manager.
The Designery is a lovely kitchen, bath, and closet remodeling company. We do pretty much any of the utility spaces in your house. If you want to store things in your cabinets, if you want to work on things on your countertops, if you want to have a floor that can get wet or muddy, we're the place to help you fix your home up.
We are The Designery North Raleigh, located at 3030 Wake Forest Road in the Holly Park Plaza. We would love to see you, or visit our website at thedesignery.com.
All right, welcome back to the Daily Download. We're talking to Liz McLaughlin here. She is the climate change reporter at WRAL, recently did a series on climate change, particularly up and down the North Carolina coast, but also along the rivers in eastern North Carolina. Liz, like I said, I want to read some statistics. 74% of people worry about damage to their homes due to climate change. 61% say the federal government isn't doing enough. But 41%, and this last one is from a CBS poll that was released, I think, last week, 41% say climate change is very important in their congressional vote. So that's roughly where January 6 polls. It's way below the economy, inflation, abortion. So why, as you talk to people, are people worried about climate change, but it hasn't really rocketed up their list of things that actually drive how they vote and make decisions in their lives?
Well, if you think about it, and with a lot of the people that I've had conversations with, you know, they're aware that climate change is a problem. There's not a question anymore that it exists, that it's happening. And people are seeing that with, you know, extreme temperatures, 100-year storms happening at a much more frequent pace. So it's something that you can't necessarily ignore, but it's something that you can avoid thinking about in your day-to-day life. If you think about your priorities, getting your kids to school, paying a bill, it's just taking precedence over this idea that seems far away. A lot of people say, I know it's happening, but it seems like something that's happening to the polar bears, or that's going to happen, you know, in my kid's lifetime, maybe not necessarily mine. It's just kind of an easy thing to put off. It's sort of human nature. But it is getting worse. And the scientists are trying to sort of, you know, shake people down and say, you got to open your eyes here. And I think another reason that people, you know, are it's become a politicized topic, right? And it shouldn't be. Scientists are saying, look, this has nothing to do with whether you're right or left. This is something that's happening to all of us. And it's especially happening to the people who can afford it the least. And so it's just a lot of mixed factors there, I think, as to why it's not, you know, the number one thing on people's mind. I mean, I even see it in, for instance, WRAL's click numbers, right? Climate change stories, you know, people might not click on it as opposed to some hard news, you know, what house burned down or if someone, you know, just other types of stories. So it's a hard sell. I think it's just something that is easy to put off thinking about. And unfortunately, we've done that in our policy as well.
As this flooding becomes more common associated with climate change, talk to me a little bit about water quality. I mean, drinking water quality, which is something, that's the thing. There are all these tendrils to this story, and the quality of the water that comes out of your faucet is one of them.
Yes, infrastructure is a big problem, especially in coastal communities. They're basically not prepared for the sea level rise that's happened in the past 20 years, in the past 50 years. And so stormwater and wastewater systems are getting flooded with salt water, even when there's not an extreme weather event. So they call this sunny day or high tide flooding. So basically just a high tide, and this has happened in places like Beaufort, especially kind of the northern eastern North Carolina. A lot of those stormwater systems aren't prepared with it. The saltwater rushes in, and these pipes also aren't prepared to hold saltwater, some of them, and it's corrosive. So we're seeing damage, cracks in these pipes. When wastewater treatment plants are overwhelmed with water, they have an overflow sort of mode and release water untreated. So at times, especially when this high tide is combined with rain or perhaps a storm, when the whole system is just completely inundated and sewage can actually mix with stormwater runoff. And so we're seeing a lot of scientists that I've spoken with are seeing higher levels of certain bacteria, fecal indicator bacteria, in our freshwater systems. They said, you know, if you're planning on going swimming in a lake or even in the ocean, maybe wait 24 hours after a rain event. And this sunny day flooding is also getting to be an accelerating problem. In the Southeast, we're looking at maybe up to a week of sunny day flooding. But by 2050, that number could be as much as 70 days of sunny day flooding. So when we talked about all those economic impacts, that doesn't include hurricanes. We could be seeing, you know, businesses close. We've already seen in some cities school bus schedules rerouted, and it'll become more than a nuisance soon. It'll be a huge problem.
Yeah, and it's not, I would encourage people not to just think about it of, oh, the water is an inch higher, and now it's an inch higher, and now it's a day. I would prefer to, there are tipping points, and when you hit some of them, well, hey, this system that you depended on day to day no longer works because it was inundated with salt water. And that's not something that we can easily fix. We got to start wrapping up here. Also, fish populations are moving around. Seafood, the seafood industry can change as the water heats up in different areas along the North Carolina coast. But I want to ask you, what are ghost forests? What are they? Where are they? What do they become after they're no longer a ghost forest? And what are we losing with this process?
So ghost forests are, you may have seen them. If you've driven out to the North Carolina coast, there are these long, barren, gray poles that used to be a vibrant wetland forest and are now miles and miles of these kind of petrified forests. And some people think they're, I mean, they're actually kind of beautiful in this eerie way, but it's pretty disturbing when you see how far they stretch. And it's because of saltwater creeping inland. And that can happen a few different ways, but most of the researchers that I've spoken with say that it's the acceleration and size of these ghost forests is because of climate change. It's like a very visual product of climate change. They're not necessarily new. They've happened before. Some ecosystems do over time and because of severe weather events switch over to marsh ecosystems or, you know, change location. But because of the scope of the size, they're saying it's really worrisome. And it's not just a transition to a marsh in some areas, another kind of ecosystem. Some of these trees are completely lost in the water. You can see them on the coast at the Outer Banks, these just dead, petrified sort of trees sliding into the shoreline. And in that case, those wetlands, that ecosystem is completely lost. And the valuable carbon sequestration that they provide, that carbon capture, is also lost. So basically, this is happening more and more often because of climate change and adding to climate change, because this biomass, very important biomass, is now releasing that carbon back into the atmosphere.
Yeah, once it starts, instead of accepting carbon, releasing it back through decay, it just becomes a feedback loop that is really scary. That's about all the time we have. I do want to note, first of all, everyone Google WRAL climate change. All of Liz's really strong coverage is going to pop up. We've got a page for it. So just Google WRAL climate change. You'll find this stuff and others. A little bit of good news. The International Renewable Energy Agency in 2021 said that renewables made up 81% of new electricity capacity and 38% of the total capacity in the United States, I believe. So we are moving forward. In North Carolina, we're going through a process right now where Duke Energy is talking to state regulators about the next 30 years of power generation as we phase out burning coal for electricity in our homes. So, you know, how much natural gas will we burn? How much of this will come from solar, from wind, from next generation nuclear? That process going on right now between Duke Energy and state regulators. So this is a business issue. This is a political issue. If it's important to you, let it be known. Liz, thank you. We appreciate your time here today. Thank you for your work.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and thank you to folks at home for listening to the Daily Download. We appreciate your attention. You can also listen to entire WRAL newscasts via podcast. Search WRAL newscasts in your podcast app. That feed is updated with new newscasts multiple times a day. We hope that your day is wonderful. Thank you for your attention.
At WakeMed MyCare 365, we deliver convenience others only talk about every day of the year. Primary care and urgent care under one roof. Multiple locations, virtual visits, walk-in or schedule an appointment online. From annual physicals and routine care to sinus infection, strep, or the flu, we couldn't be more convenient. Learn more about our kind of care and our kind of convenience at wakemed.org.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.